All right, you're listening to the Bon Appetit Foodcast. This is Adam Rappaport. Now, before we get started on today's show, I want to thank you, the listener. 2 weeks ago, we asked you to write in and let us know what you think about the show. And you know what? We got a ton of email. And most of it was really, really positive, which made us feel really, really good. But even more so, what I enjoyed even more was the fact that the emails were really thoughtful and really constructive. Keep the emails coming. It helps us a lot, and it's always great to hear from you. So again, you can reach out to us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com. Now, let's do today's show. A couple years ago, I got an email from our then deputy editor, Scott Simon. And Scott said, "Have you heard about this dude, Action Bronson?" And I was like, "No, I have not heard about this dude, Action Bronson, but that's a very cool name." And I clicked on a link for a video of his. And here's this big, burly, bearded white guy rapper somewhere in Queens. And then at the end of the video, he's grilling up this big feast for like a bunch of his boys around a table. And the interesting thing about watching someone cook, you can tell who's got game and who doesn't. And I could just see the way he was sort of flipping the steaks, smashing garlic the back of a knife. This guy had game. He knew what he was doing. Next thing you know, a couple years later, Action Bronson is this big food star. He's got his show, F That's Delicious, on Vice, and now the second season will be on Viceland. It launches this March in about a month. So, Action stopped by the BA offices last week, filmed a video for us, sat down with me. The only thing, I gotta warn you, if you listen to the Bon Appetit Foodcast with your kids, you might want to put your headphones in for this episode. Action is known to curse now and then, and he also has a thing for smoking lots of marijuana and talking about it. So, fair warning, but buckle up. It's a great ride. Me and Action Bronson. Let's do this. All right, so Action. So we're rolling here. We're running a little late.
I was having lunch with Batali.
You were having lunch with Mario Batali.
I was literally having lunch with Mario Batali. And we were just about to get into the Uber. He goes, you have to stay for a little gelato.
Oh, so it was Batali's fault.
It was his fault, for sure. Oh, so we had a little gelato.
We had
some Meyer lemon, and he made, it was like a creamsicle, like gelato.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Where were you having lunch?
At Otto.
At Otto. Yeah. Oh, nice, nice. So where do you live now?
I live in Williamsburg, in Brooklyn.
With the kids.
You
might be too old to live in Williamsburg now, man.
You're right. I am too old to live. I have grays in my beard and my head. So I look crazy these days in front of all these other ones.
It's like you're probably actually still too young. There was that movie Logan's Run from the 70s about like the futuristic sort of society. As soon as you turn 30 years old, they would kill you, basically. You were done. You're too old. Yeah, you're not beautiful enough anymore.
I'm so 2 years over.
Yeah, at 32, you got to move out of Williamsburg.
Greenpoint?
Yeah, exactly.
I need to go back to Flushing.
You're going to move to like Brooklyn Heights or something. Get yourself a townhouse.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
It's like the Upper West Side, but in Brooklyn. Can you imagine 5 years ago, you're launching your hip hop career, first album or mix it, whatever you want to call it, came out in 2011, correct? About?
I think 2010.
10, 11.
Yeah.
Can you imagine 2010 that you'd be just having lunch with Mario Batali on your way to Bon Appetit?
I couldn't. Honestly, I'd be taking a shit reading Bon Appetit because my mother has a subscription for years. And
can we use that as a poll quote? Thank you.
Absolutely. It's, you know the magazines by the side of the toilet. I knew it front and back. It was like incredible. But watching Mario Batali while I was growing up, he inspired me to cook.
All right, so how did you and Batali first meet?
Me and Batali first met through the guy Chris Grosso, who's the editor of Munchies. He was shooting with Batali, and Batali had mentioned something about Fuck That's Delicious and how it was the greatest show he's seen in the past 10 years.
Just stayed in the obvious.
Yeah, just stayed in the obvious, you know.
Wait, for you listeners out there who are not hip to Bronson's world, Fuck That's Delicious. Can I say the F word? I don't know. I never know what this show, if I'm allowed to curse or if the guests are or if I should or I shouldn't.
I feel like you could do whatever you want. You wear.
I know you feel
right
that.
Now.
I am wearing a cardigan. I kind of got my Bing Crosby look going right now. But so that's your show on Munchies, which is part of the Vice whole, the Vice media empire.
It was on Munchies. It's still on Munchies YouTube, but The new seasons are going to be coming out on Viceland, Vice's new cable network.
Okay, cool. On actual TV.
On actual
on the big screen.
Television, on the boob tube.
Yeah, which is awesome. So that's all right. So that's March. And season one, you can go on device.com, and you can get, like, I think 16 episodes or so.
Well,
the
first episode is a lot of stuff that I put out on the web.
So you met Batali through the Vice guys.
And pretty much the Vice guys, and his children were fans of mine, and that's how he learned about me, I guess. And he invited me to dinner one night, and it was just like a dream come true. Brought my mother. It was like a fucking crowning moment for us, man. It was crazy.
You made it. I think what's fascinating about you is, in the past 5 years, you're like this, like, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders figure. You know, you're a two-sport guy.
That's the biggest compliment I could have ever. Yo, I love you for life.
So you're the neon Deion of the food hip-hop world.
That's right.
But it's interesting, professionally speaking, that you've managed to sort of pursue pretty successfully two careers that you're able to sort of bounce off each other and reference, but are each on their own paths. And, like, at what point did you think that, oh, wait a minute, I can pursue my sort of food interests as while sort of launching a hip hop career? Like, 'cause that's, either one is hard to do.
It just kind of happened. I was working in the kitchen while I was pursuing my rap career in the beginning.
And you backing that up. So you went to culinary school. Your father owned a restaurant.
My father owned a restaurant while I was growing up.
What kind of restaurant?
Well, Mediterranean place, the things that we know. And then it changed over the years into other things. And I would write raps while I was on the clock, in the beginning. And then one, fateful day, I broke my leg in the kitchen out of nowhere. I was making brunch. I was making burgers and fries for my children, actually. And my man Julio was mopping the floor, and there was a little oil on the floor from the night before. And
wait, are you throwing Julio under the bus?
It was his fault, but it was, I threw him under the bus for sure. It was Julio's fault. But it was my father's fault first.
Yeah.
And then so whatever. I slipped. I broke my leg, and literally from there, I became a rapper.
Because you're like, I'm not going to be cooking for a little while, so
exactly.
You got
I was out of the kitchen. I got, because my boy would come over with the microphone, and I would just do it right there. There would be no issue.
So rapping was something as a teenager you enjoyed, came naturally, but you never had this sort of like the chutzpah to get up on stage necessarily.
Nah, never. I got it in my late 20s.
When was the very first time you stepped on stage?
25, 26 years old.
And where was that?
This was in, like, a place called Sputnik in Brooklyn. Like, my boy Mayhem Loren, who actually got me into rapping, he had a show, and there was, like, three people there. It was terrible. So you made your bones there,
Yeah.
That's what we did.
You bring a lot of personality to the stage. Your videos are fun. Your live performances are fun. Did you have that confidence off the bat, or did you try to be like, I'm going to be tough guy rapper first, I'm going to be hard, or is it, how did that sort of persona develop?
Well, the tough guy rapper, it doesn't match me. I like fighting, there's no doubt about that. I'm from Queens, as an Albanian man, we enjoy a little hand-to-hand combat every now and again.
I'm from Manhattan, like, as tough as I get is going to the Equinox gym to work out for a half hour.
Oh, man. But no one wants to be. I'm not that type of person.
Yeah.
I don't want to project that in the world. So I like to have fun. I like to say the illest, like, coolest, flyest sounding shit possible that makes you think. I don't really. It's not about being a gangster. It's about art. It's about what I'm feeling at the time, and I'm not feeling about killing people all the time and fake drug dealing. Like, I'm not gonna fucking tell people that. This didn't happen.
Yeah. But what's interesting, you sort of incorporate the food lyrics and sort of your passion for the cooking world.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty quickly out of the gate. And I mean, I remember seeing your Strictly For My Jeeps video.
Yep.
And what's interesting about that video, what caught sort of my attention, was that just from watching you cook, I'm like, oh, that guy actually knows how to cook. Like, the way you were handling the meat, chopping stuff up, and it's just like, oh, okay, I can't taste that food, but I know that he knows what he's doing.
It's crazy. People come up to me and say, oh, you're such an incredible chef. You cook so incredibly. I'm like, yeah, you never tasted my food. How do you know? I just look so good. you eat with your eyes first, right?
Yeah, no, and you can tell how...
Technique.
Technique's huge.
My movements.
Yeah, confidence. I mean, confidence, you can tell. Someone's confident in the kitchen. That makes a big difference. It's funny, there was a line, you did the one episode of your show when you were with Batali at Eataly, mm-hmm. and you guys were making pizza. And he was asking you to transfer the dough from the dough with the cheese and sauce on it onto the little pizza peel to throw in the oven. And he was saying, don't be tentative. It's like, if you're afraid to do it, if you're afraid of the dog, that's where they'll bite you.
Exactly.
But if you're confident,
goes right on.
Yeah, it goes right on.
Even if it's a little messed up, it's art. It looks good.
So growing up, did your mother teach you to cook? Did your father? How did you actually start to learn to cook before you started working in the restaurant?
Well, my grandparents lived with me for a long time, and my Albanian grandparents. My grandmother is one of the most incredible cooks, home cooks, and masters of Albanian cuisine.
Which is what? So what did she cook?
It's peasant food. There's the dish called pasulnetav. It's beans baked in a. They call it a tepsia, like that deep, round, kind of like a paella dish.
You know, we don't have a TV, a camera here. He's going about 3 inches deep.
A paella dish about 3 inches deep. And, you know, it's literally just white beans and paprika and parsley and a little vegeta. But
wait, a little what?
Vegeta.
What is the vegeta?
Vegeta is like the secret Balkan, you know, the secret seasoning salt.
Oh, see, I don't know about this vegeta.
Vegeta is pretty
much... Forget about you.
Yeah, forget about it. It's pretty much chicken base.
Mm-hmm.
Powdered chicken mm-hmm. base.
Okay, like that bouillon
exactly,
sort of stuff?
Exactly, but it's not like heavy. It's not a heavy bouillon. It's more powdery.
Okay.
And it's light. It's not like overpowering at all. So it's used to flavor everything over there, from meats to salads to anything. And a bean dish and burek.
Burek is a little pastries with...
They could be little. They could also be very extravagant, where it's like a snake, like a boa constrictor, going circular all the way around like that. And depending on the filling is dependent on the shape.
Yep.
So the meat one would be in squares or in a circle. The spinach would be in a circle, but in a different shape. Then the cheese would be in the snake.
Mm.
It's very... The concept is easy, but the technique is very, very refined and very, you know, it's not easy.
Well, you can tell, I mean, it's that simple food that has really deep flavor is not easy to make.
It's not easy to make. I've attempted it many times. I mean, I could make it now, but it took a long time.
What about, what sort of meat did you eat growing up? What were some of the standards?
Well, the standard meat dish is like a veal neck stew.
Mm,
yeah,
wow.
It's unbelievable, called tuletava. It's unbelievable. Veal neck stew, it's like eggplant, zucchini, peppers, tomatoes.
Where do you even go to get a veal neck? I mean, you must have like a butcher.
There was a butcher across the street from my house growing up, a kosher butcher, and they always had veal neck.
Yeah, of course.
Welcome
to Queens. It ain't Manhattan.
It ain't Manhattan, but veal neck is something else. There's nothing like it.
Lamb neck is really good also.
I love
it's nice
lamb
and crispy
neck.
And fall apart tender. I had a meal, one of my first like, my very first fancy meal in New York City when I was working at Time Out in New York, or maybe even before that, James Beard Foundation, like 95, went to Restaurant Danielle when it had just opened. Oh my God. And I remember Danielle brought out, he himself, because with the Beard House at the time, he brought this like copper roasting dish and had like baby lamb parts, like the lamb neck and the rack, and the neck was just so crispy and fall apart tender. And just that, like I said, again, like really almost like peasant food, but done really, really well.
I just had one of the most incredible meals of my life at his restaurant with him.
What do you remember from the meal?
What do I remember? Yeah. We had the pressed duck.
Oh, yeah, the crazy duck
duck a la presse. It was unreal.
Which for most of you who have not had it, imagine like this sort of like medieval contraption that cranks it and like the bones get crushed and all the blood and everything gets pressed out. And then they make a pan sauce out of that.
Oh, man. I helped him make it tableside. Well, you marinate this duck. Well, first off, you can't cut the duck's neck, so you have to choke it.
Oh, because you want the blood in there.
You want the blood and everything to stay in it. So the lungs, he cooks everything with the lungs, all organs intact.
Wow.
Marinates it in three different wines. A wine, a cognac, and one other thing with some oranges and spices.
I have a feeling we're going to be getting a letter from PETA pretty soon. I didn't do it. No, I've written about that dish,
you know,
before.
He didn't want. I wanted to know how the thing stayed in there. Then they went. Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel.
But it's a special, you know, it's a special thing. It's not for everybody. He never really serves it, so it's a it was an honor.
Yeah, no, he's phenomenal. He always goes that extra distance to do something spectacular, but in a very old school sort of way.
Well, that dish is pretty much France.
Yeah,
right.
Like that 1700s.
That's France in the 1700s.
Pre-revolution.
Storm the Bastille.
So, all right. So, kid growing up in Queens, father was running a restaurant. You're in high school doing what high school kids do.
Yep. Smoking weed.
As one does. But when you first, did you enjoy cooking, or was it more like, oh, my dad owns a restaurant, I need a job, I guess I'll just go work there?
Nah, I never wanted to go that route. I always liked hanging around the restaurant because the chef was cool. He was an Ecuadorian dude who always, like, messed with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he always made me laugh. But in junior high school, I learned how to cook because I honestly wanted to cook for women. And
smart man.
Yeah, and it worked, you know. The girls always wanted to, oh, can you make me something? Mm-hmm. Hey, sure, I'll make this. Come on, why not? And I just, from there, I dropped out of high school because I was a shithead. I got my GED. I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do with myself for a couple of years. And then I went to college. I went to the Art Institute of New York and got myself together, became
and studied,
who I am.
Studied cooking.
Studied culinary and, yeah, that's really where everything happened. I dropped out of the, I didn't drop out. I didn't finish totally. I finished about a year and a half. I didn't graduate. I went directly into the workforce because I had children early. I had my daughter when I was about 20 years old, and I had to get out of the, you know, school wasn't going to cut it. I had to make ends meet. So it was necessity and love, but it was really love. That's what I wanted to do with my life. I knew that for sure.
So, okay, all right, but then, all right, so then you, accident happens, you said, I've always been into hip-hop and rap, and I'm going to give this a shot.
Yep.
That starts to take off, you start to get noticed, and at what point then did you think, oh, wait a minute, I want to rekindle my food interests, and like, and obviously, how'd the show come about, and like, because that's, again, that's kind of crazy to be doing that, then all of a sudden, you took a left turn. There's a lot of people who know you just through the food world
now. I know, that's crazy.
Which is nuts.
I started doing the food thing with a friend of mine, and he was like, why don't we just film you in the kitchen while you're at work? So I made a burger. We did a couple of episodes of Action in the Kitchen.
And where could have people caught that?
It was on YouTube. There's a bunch of views on it. It's like, it was actually passed around on the Zagat feed. Like, everyone that was like signed up to their newsletter got that video.
Oh, wow.
So a friend of mine's father, who's like a hedge fund dude, got the fucking video in his email. It was just crazy. So that also brought me into the eye with a little bit of an older group as well, not just the hip-hop group. I don't know. People just took a kind of liking to me cooking as well as being on the microphone. And me, myself, that's what I've always wanted to do. So when I go on tour, people would always want to take me to the best restaurant in that city.
Because they knew you were into it and you'll appreciate this.
Exactly. They know that that was the most important. They know that I would appreciate it. And I do. A good friend of mine, Tom Gould from New Zealand, who shoots and directs a lot of my videos, was deported. Somehow he won the lottery for the green card. He came back. Took him. I was going on tour with Eminem in Australia, South Africa. He came back to New York. I took him right back to New Zealand and Australia. We were out there doing the Eminem Rapture tour. Ended up shooting all these things called Adventure Time. That was the base of Fuck That's Delicious. That is where it was created, right there. In New Zealand and Australia and South Africa.
And then you took Ted Device, like, hey, we think we
this
got a concept.
This is the show.
This
is the show right here.
And you're able to shoot a lot of it when you're on the road and already somewhere else.
Exactly.
You have I love the poke episode where you're making poke here in New York, but you were in Hawaii performing a show there for your music career.
Yep.
But then when you're there, you get some video clips for the munchies.
That's
so you can kind of tag team it, right?
That's the whole point.
Smart.
Follow me on my musical tour. And, you know, the work is an hour. Hour and a half the most. That's what the performance is. Everything else is fun.
Yeah.
They pay you to do the flight and the performance. Everything else is, we're fucking in Paris, though. What are we going to do now? Let's go out and explore.
You eat, that's what you do.
We're in Norway, let's go explore. We're, you know, we're in New Zealand. What are we going to do? Let's go explore.
All right, let me ask you a fashion question, because—
Talk to me.
It's also my world.
I'm like a cartoon, man.
All right, let's say, all right, you're going to Danielle, or you're at some fancy restaurant in Paris. What are you wearing? What kind of, what, you throwing a suit jacket? You throwing a tie?
I want to hear. I'm going to tell you exactly what I wore to Danielle. I wore a Knicks starter jacket. And a 1994 Knicks starter hat that was signed by Anthony Mason with a white t-shirt, shorts.
R.I.P.
Exactly. R.I.P. And I asked Danielle, he was like, do you want me to wear something? He's like, hell no.
Yeah.
He was no. So, but when the duck came, I put a blazer on.
Out of respect.
Out of respect for the duck, I put a blazer on for sure.
Let me ask a question about the beard. Like, if you're eating ramen or something, what do you do with the beard? That can't be easy.
This.
Yeah.
You can't
grab
really
it.
See this, but yeah, you have to grab it from underneath and just tuck it to the, you know, tuck it underneath. Before, my mustache was much longer. It was kind of, you know, gold rushes, gold rush-esque, hanging over my lips. So I would have to part it like that. Look crazy. It would look nuts. I got called out on it many times.
In terms of cooking these days, do you have time to cook at home, or are you basically always filming or on the road? Or
I have time to cook at home, absolutely. I just moved into my new spot, so
what kind of kitchen you got?
It's a, you know, not state of the art like here, but it's a pretty nice. It's an open kitchen. It's nice countertops, Viking everything. Obviously,
you live in like one of them fancy new condos in Williamsburg, yeah,
definitely.
Doorman and all that,
definitely.
You're like
moving on.
You're
up.
Like the Jeffersons
for real. I live in the penthouse, a nice balcony. It's almost bigger than the apartment. The balcony.
Oh, it's nice.
That was the most important thing for me.
Can you grill out there?
Yes.
Nice.
I've been living in apartments my entire life, 2-bedroom with 30 people in the place. I need this.
It's crazy when people come visit you.
This.
When people visit you from you or visit someone who lives in New York City and that person lives in the Midwest or wherever, they come like, wow, you guys live in this? They're always shocked
it's
at
a
how
box,
small
like we're living in a box.
And crowded apartments are. It's like, welcome to New York. So, all right, so you got the successful rap career, you got the successful food career. Are people now coming always up to you saying, when are you going to open a restaurant? You need to open a restaurant.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you say?
I mean, I don't think I'm ready to open a restaurant. I don't have the stature to like just open a restaurant. Maybe I do, I don't know. But I think a littler spot, not a full scale, you know, trying to be something I'm not. You know, I would never do that. I would stay true to myself, like a good old fucking sandwich spot. Something that just speaks to what I do.
That's delicious.
Or do like 4 or 5 different dishes that I just nail, that I know what I could do.
All right, before we let you go, Mr. Bronson, action. We're going to hit you with our lightning round because that's what we do here. So I'm gonna throw a bunch of questions your way.
Perfect.
And you're going to answer them. Either or. All right, ready?
Yep.
Ribeye or skirt steak?
Skirt.
Ooh, really? How do you like to prepare it?
I like it. The skirt steak you could do either way. You can make ropa vieja with the skirt steak.
Oh.
Which you could stew for a long time.
All right, latkes or matzo balls?
Oh, come on! Now this is a tough question.
It's a tough question.
Now this is.
You got to pick one.
Damn, man. I'm torn right here. I'm going to go to matzo ball. It's more near and dear to my heart.
Do you make them or do you usually go out and get them somewhere?
I usually get them at the deli.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bourdain or Zimmern?
Zimmern.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That was a quick one. All right. Poke or ceviche?
Poke.
So you got seduced by that when you were in Hawaii.
I mean, I love ceviche. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But that poke, there's something about it.
And just big chunks of fresh tuna.
There's something
some
about
soy
it. It just melts. When it's
sesame.
Room temperature, it melts. Mm-hmm. Like, especially on top of that beautiful steamed rice.
Yeah, yeah. Nice stuff. All right, I don't know if you're even old enough for this question, but Doc or Daryl?
Old enough? I'm born in 83.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to go with Daryl.
Well, you were like 3 years old when the Mets won the World Series.
You're right.
So, all right.
They still dress me in Mets outfits, though.
Daryl Strawberry, ladies and gentlemen.
Daryl's my guy for sure.
Glass.
He played for the Yankees also.
That's true, yeah.
Well, they both did.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
Cannoli or tiramisu?
Cannoli.
cannoli. Yeah. Is there any place in particular in New York City you would recommend for a good cannoli?
Parisi's.
Okay. Yeah. In the East Village, that yeah. one? No, no, where's Parisi's?
Down in Mott.
Okay, Mott, down in Mott. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, down in sort of Little Italy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In-N-Out or Shake Shack?
I'm going to go with In-N-Out.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Even though you're a New York guy?
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, I would like to know why.
Shake Shack only crisps their burger on one side.
Ooh.
I don't like that.
See, I've never noted. I've had that issue with the different that place. What's it called? Joe's or whatever in the meatpacking district. They do the same thing as crispy on one side, not the other. I've never noticed that with the Shake Shack. I'm gonna check that out.
I don't get that because you know I worked at Citi Field and I would work with the Shake Shack burger.
Yeah.
It would only be one side. That's how they tell people to prepare it.
Yeah.
The In-N-Out burger. There's something about the crispness of the bun when the edge gets kind
of
crunchy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
love
the
that.
Thinness of the It's like a There's just something about it. It's just really, really good.
You know what I don't? I mean,
I don't like the fries.
The fries are not. I was gonna say that the fries at In-N-Out are not good. They use fresh potatoes, but they don't do the double fry thing.
They don't. They do. So it's one fry, and it tastes bad. It doesn't taste good.
No, it's God. Wow, you're smart. We're gonna have to hire you. Yeah, they have like this cardboardy taste.
That's exactly what it almost tastes like. They're fake.
Yeah, which is odd because they make the effort, but then they ain't got the payoff.
They might be too thin also. I think that's why they're only doing the one fry, because they're a little bit too thin. If you do the two fry, they want them to stay straight. They don't want to, you know?
Pork chop or pork shoulder?
Pork shoulder.
Slow and low?
Yeah,
and
slow and barbecued.
Do you like to do a kind of American barbecue or Asian, or do you have anywhere particular style?
I like meat cooked slow, low. I like a lot of bark. I like I just like barbecued meat.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, man.
Oh, this is a good one. Ramen or ragu?
I'm going to go with the ragu.
Do you cook a lot of Italian food? Do you do the pasta?
I mean, yeah. Italian food is incredible to me. I love ramen also. This don't get me wrong, but ramen
ain't easy to make at home.
It's not easy to make at home, and ramen is a more, you got to go out and do this, and it's like... I could do the ragu very easy. I make a sauce that's a 10-minute sauce.
What?
I don't know. It tastes better than any sauce that I've stewed for a long time.
What's the secret?
No, you just take the San Marzanos.
Mm-hmm.
You just use a lot of garlic and onion and get them really browned really well.
Yep.
Just toss the tomatoes in, 5 minutes, turn it off, let it sit there.
Sounds good.
I don't know what the hell. It's just incredible.
All right, last question, what we always leave out with. Butter or olive oil?
Olive oil.
Really?
I really love the way olive oil tastes. I mean, butter's great, don't get me wrong, but if I had to choose one...
You got to.
Going with the olive oil.
All right. Action Bronson, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for stopping by, man.
Thank you for having me, man.
All right.
This has been great.
That was Action Bronson. You can look for his show, If That's Delicious, on the new Viceland channel. Launches early March. And you can check him out in the Bon Appetit Culture issue, which is on stands now. Thanks for listening, guys. Caramel complexions on two knees, on two skis, carving up the ounces with his two knees. I'm Rick the model, Martel the cartel, live fast and eat the big tuna. This podcast is brought to you by executive producer Val Cushing and project manager Carrie Polis, with editing by Mitra Kaboli. The theme music is by Valerie and the Greedies. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. Grind the curvy, never shine the jury. Pussy like an 86 style, you know it's fine and furry. Spark the bug in the park, you know, lumberyard. You ain't never in the limelight, undercard. Rossellini in the sky, thunder rod. Commandante of this rap shit.